Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. When they get to Bethlehem, he's been telling Mary all the way, hey, don't worry, I got this. I know everybody in Bethlehem. Oh, they're going to be showering us with gifts. They can't wait to show you a baby shower. They're going to put us up at one of the finest houses down one street and down another street and down another street. He goes banging on doors, and no one will let them in. No one. Now, we get the legend of, well, an innkeeper said, well, the innkeeper basically said, I have a stable in a cave down the road that I used to use, and you can have that. Talk about that patience right there.
It's real world. It's real world. It's real now. You know, you. Let's say you have a hotel room and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get there, I'll be fine. And you get there and everything just turns on its head. And that's what he went through. And of course, you know, as a man, you know, that he was, especially he talked it up. I got this, honey. Don't worry, honey. I got this. We don't need to ask for directions. Don't worry. I got this. And he gets lost. So, like, wherever it was, whatever happened, he was usually looking like not the provider. And even in Egypt, I mean, sometimes he would work there, and they just wouldn't pay him for the day. It would be, you know, he was a migrant, a refugee, whatever you want to call him.
Sure.
That's what he was, and they treated him as, unfortunately, refugees are treated all around the world. Forget United States. You go anywhere. In fact, United States, as much as they make us look bad or whatever, you go somewhere else, you get shot. I mean, it's just like, what? You came to North Korea? That's, come in, no problem. We're only going to torture you for a couple of months, and then we'll release you so you can die in America after a day or two, but that's fine, you know? But that's, you know, those are the, to quote, good guys, and we're the bad guys, but, you know, refugee is not a thing you want to be, and St. Joseph was that. So he knows what it's like to eat bread, to be lost, to look bad in front of your wife and kids. Your wife is the mother of God, and your son is God. You're looking bad.
But he never he never bails on the endeavor. The original release that you sent me about it, that you divided it up into a couple of different sections.
Yeah, each chapter has a different thing. The first chapter is the life of St. Joseph, based on Venerable Catherine Emmerich, who was also what they used to base the movie The Passion of Jesus Christ. So that'll give you an idea of how powerful her message is. And then also, obviously, we condensed it and concentrated mostly on how it affected St. Joseph. So you really get his life in the first chapter. The second chapter is, let me just make sure I got my chapters correct, but the second chapter is on devotion to St. Joseph and how it was over, the growing son. So St. Joseph, over the last 2,000 years, how it's grown within the Catholic Church, devotion to him. And it took a long time. It was maybe 1,000 years before St. Joseph was even acknowledged as anything. He was always on the side, kind of quiet, waiting. And there's different theories of why that was, but part of it, what I think is he was getting ready to come into his full light now. Now when the battle is hot.
So, and then after that, are there chapters after that?
Yeah, the third chapter is on St. Joseph's best friend, and also how you probably can become his too. But I'm looking to get that role now, so you guys got to, maybe you'll be his second best friend.
So there's competition for that one going on.
Hey, I'm looking. I wrote a book, you guys. Until you write a book, then we could talk. Next one is Powerful Prayers to St. Joseph. So you have different prayers, and there's also Sons and Daughters of St. Joseph, which is a prayer group that I formed that was based on Faustina. In Divine Mercy, St. Joseph appeared to her and told her to pray one Our Father, one Hail Mary, one Glory Be, as well as the Memorare to St. Joseph, and the Sons and Daughters of St. Joseph kind of does that same thing every day, and I think it's up to a couple of thousand people that pray to St. Joseph every day now. And the next one is on Holy Poverty, which me and my church are working on.
We are working real hard on it, Doc. You and I. I'm getting good at it, too. I wanted
we laugh so hard we cry.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, and I await my copy of the book just like the rest of you, folks. I read, we did a big homage to St. Joseph on St. Joseph the Worker Day, which was pronounced by Pius the 12th in, what, 1947, I think, or 1948 or somewhere around in there. And I remember reading at the time, and I can't remember how I stumbled upon it, but the history of how these things called St. Joseph's altars came about. And I've been to a dozen or so St. Joseph's altar. Many people listening probably have as well. I never knew the story behind it. And, you know, when you say that for the first 1,000 years or so that, you know, he was kind of like just biding his time, you know, you keep going back to the theme of Joseph, this just man, and this almost Job-like patience. I mean, the patience of Job and the patience of Joseph, that he just waiting, just biding his time. And I can't remember what the exact occurrence was, but there was some need for or some famine or something to that effect, or something was in short supply, and somebody was praying. One of the townspeople in Italy was praying upon it, and St. Joseph appeared to them and said, if you go and go make an altar and honor to me, people will bring everything that you people need to survive. And that's how it started. And the table was just overloaded. They couldn't believe the bounty. And they're like, wait, where was this yesterday? And that's how it's a very brief, very paraphrased, not historically accurate story of how the St. Joseph altars came about. But that is a part of almost every Catholic parish's life today, is the honoring of St. Joseph with the St. Joseph altar, isn't it, Doc?
Well, you just taught me everything I know about it right now. So
I wish... I was going to say, I wish I could remember the source, because I'd send it to you, and in the next edition, you could put it in there. So, second edition, as we descend deeper into our holy poverty, you can say, well, you know, I still have enough skin left on my bones here to write about this. What can you tell the audience, then, about the history or about the creation of, or maybe how some of these prayers and these devotions that you have in the prayer chapter came about?
Well, you know, basically I would like to go over an overall principle, and then we can go from there. Basically,
sure,
you have a need. You're basically up the river, no paddle, whatever the terminology is. You get the devotion comes from a need. So you rarely do you get a devotion without some sort of need. So an example for you right now, St. Joseph is there to help you. But if you don't need any help, you're like, I got this, St. Joseph. You know, you're not, your devotion is going to be, you know, yeah, he's a good saint, you know. Then you need to sell the house. suddenly you're like, oh, St. Joseph will help me sell the house and get a statue, and hopefully you don't bury him. But, you know, you get a St. Joseph statue and you start your devotion that way. However it works, what I've noticed is that if you promise something to St. Joseph in his honor, for the poor, maybe for the church, for the Mike Church show, whatever it is that you want to... Whatever it is that you feel that St. Joseph would be happy with, or buying St. Joseph, go to St. Joseph books and giving them out to people. Anything, anything that we can come up with, but that you feel that St. Joseph is calling you to do in thanksgiving for him answering your prayer. And sometimes you can do it before, you can do it after. For me, an example, when I decided to first write the book to St. Joseph, I was like, what am I going to get for this St. Joseph? And I don't want to be that. But, you know, I'm going to write this book for you. What are you going to do for me? And what came to me is that he's going to help me to do this full time, just like Mike Church does. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be paid just as well. But, you know.
What is this pay you speak of?
Exactly. Somehow there's still food on St. Joseph's table at the end of the day. And that how that happens is a miracle. And if you really, where was this yesterday? I don't know. It exactly is how it's worked for me since I've turned to St. Joseph. I can't put the numbers together. I can't, you know, exactly figure out how St. Joseph provides, but he always does. And maybe it'll be today, maybe it'll be tomorrow, something different. But so whatever it is that you need or want, not only do you pray to St. Joseph, but also promise him something in thanksgiving, something that you're going to do for him. Maybe it's $10 for the poor in his honor. And he will really come through for you then. And that's something that I've picked up over the last few years, that if you give in thanksgiving, you will get much, much more in return. So the hope and the prayer is that eventually I will be able to do this full-time for God and do different things for God, as well as be on the Mike Church show whenever you need.